Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 39, and the flute signifies the call to worship. The call to worship the podcast. That's right, my friends. I'm making this into a religious experience. How's everybody doing? It's Sunday afternoon. It's warm here in L.A. I mean, I'm in the valley here. I'm not in technically in the L.A. part. 93 degrees in North Hollywood where I live. Holy Toledo. I just looked on my iPhone. 93 degrees. We have had such heat. Such heat. My air conditioner has been running consistently, constantly. I have it off right now because, like I said before, I'm not running it while I do. I'm not competing with the noise. It makes a lot of noise. I'm not competing with that noise to do my little homemade podcast, okay? All right, so just don't even go there. Don't even tell me you're warm during this. If you're warm, just sit there and wait until this thing is over with. When it's over with, we'll put the air conditioner back on, okay? All right, okay. So it's been quite a week. First of all, kind of uneventful here at the apartment building. I had a conversation with Aaron and Janet, the managers that are married to each other of the building. We were talking about sugar, and I guess Janet was having, she might have gained a couple of pounds, whatever, and so she wanted to cut down on sugar. And so we were talking about all the things that she uses, that she puts sugar in. And I guess she puts sugar in her coffee and stuff like that. And so, you know, I asked her at one point, could you just not, you know, have your coffee with sugar? Could you have it without it? And she, in a very thick Spanish accent, said, drinking coffee, she said something like, drinking coffee with no sugar is like kissing my husband without saliva. That's almost a quote. I don't know if it had to do with the coffee, but the rest of it had to do with it. That going without sugar, basically, was like kissing her husband without saliva. And he's just standing there like George Burns and Gracie Allen. They should do a comedy act. They really should. Because he just stands there and does a take like, what? She should get into the t-shirt business and just put some of her sayings on t-shirts. Because they're priceless. Who would ever think about that? You know. What else is going on? I had a little incident. Not much of one. But one of my friends, a guy I'm friendly with in the courtyard, he came home the other day. And he came through the front of the building. The way this building is laid out, there's a front and there's two side doors. It's a courtyard. And I live near one of the side doors. So I was coming out. It was the middle of the day. It's probably about, I don't know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Sun shining. Air conditioner's blaring. And in his defense, he had just been out and he had his earbuds in. Maybe he was listening to some music or whatever. And so he seemed to be in his own little world. I just said hi to him, and he just jumped. And he goes, ah, Jesus, Al! Oh, so, jeez. And I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, and then he walked over to his apartment because he lives directly across from me. And I go, are you okay? He goes, oh, yeah, it was about 6 o'clock. He goes, I got 4 minutes. It's almost 6 o'clock. I got 4 minutes. So, I had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. He had 4 minutes. It was 6 o'clock. I guess it was 4 minutes to 6. But why he had 4 minutes, whatever he had to do in 4 minutes. And I don't know. I guess, you know, by me saying, all I said was hi. I didn't say boo. I didn't do it really loud. I just said, hey, how's it going? Jesus, Sal. Ooh, can you hear that noise? It's the guy upstairs running his maybe shower. Oh, the pipes in this building are, there's something else. They've bursted. They burst a lot. I've had a couple of bursting incidents. I hope I don't have any in the near future or in the future at all. So that's all that's happened this week in the building that I can report. you know, I mean, that's about it. Nothing, as my dad would say, nothing new. Everything's the same. Everything's cool. I was reading that there was a batch of cantaloupe somewhere, I think, in the Midwest that people who ate them contracted salmonella. And that goes back to what I was talking about before, where you think you're doing something healthy for yourself, you know, eating a cantaloupe. Do you think you're in danger when you're and you get salmonella? Salmonella from a cantaloupe? You know, the funny thing is you never hear of anybody getting salmonella from a donut. Which leads me to believe that donuts are actually good for you, okay? Donuts have all the sugar and fat you need to keep you hefty. Ooh, I saw a thing today. The 10 fattest cities in a country. Oh, my goodness. And they showed some biggies. Ooh, they showed some biggie people. Oh, my goodness. It made me realize, how grateful I am that I'm on the downward, down low spiral of the weight thing. I'm going down, baby, down. I'm going down. I ain't no clown. I'm going down. Can you hear that? Can you guys hear that? All right, now it's off. Okay. The rest, what happened this week, the big news this week is I had to go to the hospital where I'm going to be, committing my surgery, where I was going to have my surgery take place in a few weeks. And I don't know if you can hear this thing. All right, I'm going to stop pointing it out. I had to go there to donate blood. My orthopedic doctor wants to have 1 pint of my blood there in case he needs it. In case he gets thirsty, I get. No, in case, you know, I lose blood and they have it. So I said, okay, you know. And if you know anything about me, I'm not very comfortable with medical things. I am getting more comfortable. I'm trying to embrace this. I think this is part of the reason I'm going through all this is to overcome a big fear, because I've had big fear of medical things, quite possibly, and I think quite probably, because when I was 3 and 7 years old, I was put in the hospital, and, you know, and I didn't understand what was going on, and it was scary, and I think that carried over into my adulthood. But, you know, I don't want to demonize the entire medical profession. You know, I've tried a lot of alternative stuff, and, you know, a lot of it that I've tried hasn't really worked, but some of it, I guess, does. And so I want to take the best of the traditional medical establishment and the best of the alternative, put them together, and make them and make it a beautiful thing for me. So I had to go and donate blood, and I had a situation, it's getting better. I had a little bit of something going on that I was concerned about with my body. I won't go into detail. It's none of your business. Don't ask me, okay? Be gone with you. And so the doctor, I said I have to get a physical about a week before my surgery. The doctor, the internist I'm going to go see, is right by the hospital. So I figured, you know what? I will go. It'll be a way for me to meet him. I'll go and have him check me out, check this thing out. And that'll be that, you know, and then I'll meet him and then we'll see what this is. And then I'll go over to the hospital and get my blood. So I go over, I'm driving over there and, you know, I've got the address and, you know, I'm getting close to the address. It's in like the West Hollywood, Beverly Hills border. And I'm driving and I see, you know, there's the address getting closer. Should be the next address. Now there's no, it's gone. There's no address. There's a Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. And then there's an office building right next to it. But it's not really, it's kind of facing, it's kind of facing the corner. So it's not really facing the street that it should be on. Whatever. It has no number on it is the point. So I call, I call up at the doctor's office and I ask them, where are you? Because there doesn't seem to, I can't seem to find you. And they said, well, we're right next to the coffee bean and tea leaf, which I figured it was there. And I said, okay. And they had told me that they have their own spaces in the parking lot right in back. Right in back. Okay. In back of what? I mean, you have to go around the building. So I go around the building and I see a parking lot and I pull into the parking lot and I see a guy there and I go, hey, is this where the doctor's thing is? He goes, no. No, this isn't it. This is for something else. You better get out of here. This isn't for you. He didn't say you better get out of here, but I felt like I needed to get out of there. I felt like I needed to be free of that parking lot. And so then I leave that parking lot and I call up again. I go, where's your, I can't, I just went to the parking lot in the back. The first parking lot in the back. She goes, oh, no, it's right next door. And it was just like, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just like, maybe it's just me, but when people just are new and they're coming to, didn't, they're new to coming to your place. Maybe they just don't feel, maybe they just take it for granted. They come there all the time. But, you know, I would try to be sensitive and go, this isn't very easy to find. This is like, you know, you have to go around the block and then you have to make a right down another street. And there's no discernible signs that go this way to the friggin' place. So, but I found it and he had a lot of spots. I was impressed. I'm impressed with his parking situation. I was very impressed with that. Didn't cost me a dime. Nothing. Nada. And then I go up and it's kind of a walk, though. It's kind of a schlep, you know, to especially with my hips. But it was okay. It wasn't that bad. And I get there and it's one of those very clean, quiet buildings. And I find a place and I go in. And they give me a thing to sign in. And then I said, asked them I needed to utilize their restroom. I needed to go into their restroom. And I didn't need to go in there and rest, if you know what I'm saying. I had to go wee-wee. So I go in there. And there's a little sign on the wall that says, please do not throw toilet paper in toilet bowl. Baffling, to say the least. Because if you don't throw toilet paper into the toilet bowl, where dost thou throweth the toilet papereth? I don't know. They did have a picture of an entire roll of toilet paper. And maybe the problem is there were people that were just taking an entire roll of toilet paper and dumping it in the toilet bowl. What are they, from the jungle, these people? But I was baffled. And, of course, I'm the type, with my big mouth and comedic sensibility, I need to know the reason. So I came out and I asked one of the ladies up front. I said, what's with the deal? What's the deal with that sign in your bathroom? And she said, oh, she said, you know, I just hate that sign. I wish they would get rid of it. I said, why is it there? She goes, I really don't know. So it just remains a mystery to me as well as a person that works there. I'm just assuming that somebody did something really weird and threw an entire roll of toilet paper and tried to flush it. Is that possible? I don't know. That's like to me when you open up, like, say, a little aspirin bottle and I've got that thing that keeps it fresh inside the bottle. It looks like a plastic thing and it says, do not eat. Because some idiot somewhere along the way said, oh, I wonder what if I can't chew it. I can't crunch it with my teeth. I'll just swallow it. So anyway, so then I meet this doctor, and he was very, very nice. So we got along pretty good. And but the first thing he does is he takes my blood pressure, and lo and behold, I got some high blood pressure happening, folks. Wasn't really expecting that since I've lost so much weight. I've been taking all these nutrients. So he put me on a pill. He says I may be able to get off it eventually if I keep losing weight. Although he says I do have a hereditary high blood pressure in my family, so it's possible. He says some people can be in incredible shape and never lower their blood pressure naturally. But I'm going to attempt to do that, and kind of bum me out because I don't want to be. I don't like, being on pharmaceuticals. And I asked him, well, what are the side effects? And he said, well, they're kind of mild. You could possibly get some dizziness and some swelling in the ankles, but I don't think you're going to get that. And I didn't get any swelling in the ankles. For the first couple of days, I felt a little weird, a little out of sorts. But now I think my body's getting used to it. And it's another sign that you can't pretend. I can't pretend I'm young anymore. When you're getting your hips replaced and you have high blood pressure, you can't exactly pretend that you're a bastion of youthfulness, okay? So stop pretending. Stop pretending you're a young person. And embrace yourself. Embrace your generational situation. So then he gave me a prescription for something else for the little other thing I had going on. And he gave me samples for the blood pressure stuff. And then I'm going to see him in a few weeks. And but the point I'm going to try to make is, he says, it's a good thing you came in because as high as my blood pressure was, they would not perform surgery with that blood pressure in that range. So we have to get it down. And so and I told him I was going to donate blood. And he says, well, if your blood pressure is still high, they may have to get permission from a doctor there. But he said, take a pill now, and I will write a note for you saying that you came to see me, and it'll be about an hour probably before you get in there and do it, so it should be down. And I took a pill, very small pill, so small. It's so small. And so I took it, and when I got to the hospital an hour later, they took because they have to, do certain tests before they even take your blood. And I was down about 30 points already on the top and 20 on the bottom. I have no idea what that means, but I know it was heading in the right direction. So that was that. And, like I said, I wasn't expecting the high blood pressure because I've been, I've lost so much weight. I'm taking all these nutrients. But who knows? Who knows? We'll see what happens. I want to make myself crazy over it because I'm crazy enough. So let me talk about the experience at the hospital. And I think it's a good thing that I keep going. I've gone there for a class, and I went there now for the donation of the blood. And possibly when I go to see him, the internist, he may send me over there for something. I don't know. But anyway, I'm getting more and more comfortable there. I don't want to get too comfortable. I don't want to make myself too at home. But I don't want to be scared. I don't want to be frightened of this experience. And so I go there, and I go to the front desk. They have this long front desk with a bunch of women answering phone calls. And then I tell one of the women I'm there to donate blood. And she says, well, just one second, and we'll get somebody to bring you to the blood donor place. And I wait about half a minute, and there's a guy, a middle-aged gentleman, wearing those scrubs, which is funny. Why are all these people wearing scrubs? Maybe it's just because they're comfortable, but scrubs are basically for the doctors. Isn't that for the doctors? So that they can be comfortable and if they mess up their clothing, it's no big deal. But everybody wears scrubs, so they all look like doctors. And this guy, he's a volunteer, so he's not getting paid. And he walks me from the front desk to the end. I have to go and do an intake with this woman or somebody. Well, I found out it was a woman in a little bit. I didn't know that at first. And so it's about a 20-foot walk. And so I asked him, hey, you're a volunteer. Hey, how's that going? What made you... Well, why are you? What made you decide to volunteer? I was kind of curious. And he goes, well, I could use the exercise, he said. Oh, he could. The guy's walking 20 feet back and forth. Maybe if you do 20 feet back and forth 80 times an hour, I guess that's good exercise. But I wanted to ask him, you know, no disrespect, and God bless you for volunteering, but have you heard of the thing called the gym, the gymnasium, 24-hour fitness, you know, going for a walk in the park? You know, I was kind of expecting like some kind of more lofty answer, like, oh, I like to volunteer because I like to help people get well. No, he likes it because he needs the exercise. And then he shows me to this little waiting room, and he tells me somebody is going to call my name, and I'm going to be taken into an office and asked questions. And I wait there for a little bit, and I get called, and a woman calls my name, and I go in to her little cubicle, and I'm sitting across from her, and she starts asking me questions, and right off the bat, you know, she wants to see some identification, and I go, okay. I go, is there a reason for that? She goes, well, right off, she goes, there's a problem right now with a discrepancy with your birthday. I mean, you're telling me that your birthday is December 30th, and we got a different date. And I go, oh, you know what? At the orthopedic, I noticed that at the orthopedic office, they've accidentally put down December 3rd. So they left out to zero. But in that world of, in the world of bureaucracy, whoa, Nelly. Whoa, wait a minute. What are you trying to pull? Trying to get in here and donate blood? With a bad birthday? We'll get you, man. So we straightened that out. And then she asked me a bunch of questions. One of them was, she asked me my religious, any religious preferences. I don't know what the point was that of that was, but I think I said I was born a Jew, but I'm not religious. I believe in the interconnectedness of man. I don't know what I said. I just felt it was, you know, why do they care? You know, they want to know if I'm married. You know, they all these questions that have nothing to do with anything that I'm, you know, has nothing to do with my hips. Has nothing to do with me giving blood. You know, am I married? What? Am I married? Is my blood going to be, are you going to give it to married? Is it going to be in the married blood section? You know, so, then I saw that they have a sign hanging, like about a big sign. About, I'd say it was about 3.5 feet by 1.5 feet. So it's a nice size, you know, in a frame. And it says, patients' rights. And it's got the rights of patients laid out in about 4 or 5 languages, including English. I think there's Farsi, Spanish, of course. I don't know what the other two, maybe Korean. And, but it's written in such small lettering that, I mean, you have to be an ant to read it. I think the patients have the right to have a sign that they can read, okay? And I don't think it's a matter of, like, needing glasses. These, you know, it was small. I mean, the sign was big, but the words were small. And then she sends me, she goes, we get done, and she sends me down the hall to where I'm actually going to actually donate blood. But I'm going to another lobby, another waiting room. And I said, hi, I'm here to donate blood. And then I was wondering, do the Crips donate blood? You know, I mean, I just thought about the, you know, the Bloods and the Crips. Can the Crips go in there and say, I'd like to donate, and they don't say the word? I'd like to donate, I don't know, just a thought. And then I'm in the lobby. And one thing I noticed in the time I was, you know, in the hospital that day, a lot of the orderlies, particularly the guys, are overweight. They have a lot of overweight orderlies. I call them OOs or OO. So they put me in the lobby, and then they call my name, and it's this, like, sort of Russian nurse. And the first thing she says was, wasn't he here last week? And I go, what? And she says to the overweight orderly behind the desk. And then I go, no, I wasn't here. And then she goes, and then she just kind of shrugs. And I ask her, what made you think I was here last week? And she doesn't answer. Then I ask her where she's from, and she doesn't answer. This woman has the bedside manner of a commandant in a concentration camp. And so then she had to take my blood pressure. She's the one that took my blood pressure, and it was down. And then she pricked my finger to test my blood, and then she gave me the A-OK sign to move on to the next phase of the to actually donate the blood finally. And you know, but she was very, very, very cold, I would say, very no bedside manner. And so then she takes me to this other room where there's like lots of like sort of lounging bed type things, not quite beds, but kind of between a bed and a couch, and where people are being donating blood. And there was another lady, an American lady, who was a nurse, and she was very nice. And I made a joke to her saying that the Russian lady, I understand that she's up for best personality in the ward. And she started laughing. So then I donated my blood, and you know, it took like maybe about 5 minutes, 10 minutes to donate. Then I sat there for 15 minutes. Then they released me, and then they have snacks for you. Cookies, water, juice. They encourage you to eat sugar. And listen, folks, you know me. I don't need any encouragement to eat sugar. You say eat sugar, I'm eating sugar. I took some home. I took some cookies home. And then on my way home, I stopped for gas, and I bought some more cookies. Okay? Because I can. Because I'm an American. And that's what we do. All right. I feel like today's podcast was almost an excerpt from a dramatic scene from a dramatic one-man show. I don't know. I don't care. You know, I don't care. I do it. I knock them out, folks. I do care. You know I do care, but I can't care that much. Some people are going to like them. Some aren't. All right, shut up, Al. Stop with the self-consciousness already. Okay? Stop it. That was my head and my voice speaking through my mouth. Anyway, that's thank you so much, everybody and anybody who listens to my podcast. I'm very grateful for that. And, you know, it's been 39 episodes. I'm impressed. We're 3 months away from a year? You know, so I don't know what's going to be like during my surgery, my recovery, how often. I'm hoping I don't skip too much of it. I'm hoping actually, if things go according to plan, I probably will just keep doing it because they're saying they're going to get me up walking that afternoon. Surgery in the morning, walking in the afternoon. So that's that, okay? So that until next time, this is Al Berman, live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.